Well, on a day like today, we get to talk about light. Seems like it's a little lighter, though, than it was. So that's good. I like light. I don't know about you. Last week, we did that whole time change thing, right? And what do they call that? Daylight savings. Because what do people want? Let's push off that darkness. If we can, we would like to have that light last just a little bit longer because we like light. Light is a positive thing. You can take a few cloudy days, but man, it gets can get long in the tooth. We like to see this light, and the Bible uses this a lot. Boy, all the verses and passages, when you start to go and study this, and we'll look at some of them, but we can't even touch close to all of the times the Bible uses light to help us understand things spiritually. Over and over, this gets used. Now, it's coming up here as we're in our walks in Ephesians, and that we're told that we are to be walking in the light. So we know in the context here where it is used in Ephesians, because what we've been discovering and have seen as we've worked our way through this book is the first three chapters really tell us who the Christian is. And the last three tell us what the Christian does, right? What God has done in the first three to bring us into his family, who the child of God now is, and all that takes place through that. Now it is how it is that we conduct ourselves moving forward. And so we've seen this series of walks. And so today we move into this walking in the light. Next week will be, in a couple of weeks, we'll be walking in wisdom. So we're walking in the light. We are to walk in a manner that is worthy of the calling to which we've been called. We are to be imitators of him. So the fundamental difference between the Christian and the non-Christian is what the Bible ultimately is referring to when it talks about light and darkness. The difference between a child of God and one who is not a child of God. One is in the light or one is in the dark, and we all begin in the dark because we all are going our way. Our desires, our path is darkness, and it is the light of Jesus Christ that awakens us and brings us onto his path. And so the Bible will speak of, as we're going to see, light as far as knowledge, and in light as far as our actions and our deeds, what it is that we do. So we are told here to walk as children of light. Why? Because that is who you are. This really is what all of these walks boil down to, and as far as what it is that you're supposed to do when you think of these last three chapters, you know, the theme of it, if you want to really boil it down to what it is you're supposed to do, be who you are. Be who you are. You are a child of light. You are in the family. If you have truly come to know Jesus Christ, you've truly been born again, then this is who you are. So don't act like what you're not. Act like what it is that you are. And that is what we see and we continue to see in these walks. And today we see it is that we are children of light. And so we're going to notice 4 points in our text, verses 8 to 14, in how it is that children of the light walk. What is it that they do? What can we expect from someone who is a child of light? So let's read our verses here. Ephesians 5, 8 to 14. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the deed, from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. So we're thinking about what it is how it is that a child of the light walks. And the first thing I want you to notice is they show change. There is a difference because at one time you were darkness, not anymore. Scripture is just chock full of this. In fact, we have seen this over and over and over again. This has been reiterated. You're different. You're not who you used to be. There is a difference, and it should be able to be seen. If you're a child of light, people can see there's something different here with this person. And people that have seen us in our prior state most certainly should see a difference. There's something different with this person as a child of God, as children of light. But what does it mean? What does this walking in this light mean? Well, as we mentioned, light in Scripture often refers to knowledge. If you have light, you have understanding. You've been enlightened. There has been something that has been revealed to you that you know that someone that walks in darkness does not know. Darkness speaks of ignorance. There's no understanding. Psalm 119, verse 105 says what? Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. What is he saying? The wisdom of God, what he has given me, has shown me how I should walk, where I should go, what I should do. It comes from above. This is this light. He enlightens me that I otherwise would not have. And so when the world talks about God, one of the things that you see real quick, right, is the ignorance. A lot of times, God is just a cuss word. Other times, they just tell you who God is because who they want him to be. And they've made up a God. All the crazy things that they say. And they show this ignorance. They show this darkness. There is not the enlightenment of knowledge. Or as some will say, as the Bible tells us, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They dismiss God altogether. So being in the light, having light is knowledge and wisdom that comes from God. The other way that it's used is in a moral sense. So it is what it is that we do. So light speaks of good. Darkness speaks of doing evil, doing what is counter to God, the opposite of God, doing wrong and doing evil. Isaiah 5:20 uses this when he says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. And then notice how he parallels this. Who put darkness for light and light for darkness. Right? So the scripture speaks of it like this in a lot of different ways. Romans 13:12, for instance. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So let us cast off the works of darkness. The sin, the evil. And what do we put on? The armor of light. So we can do the good, and bear the fruits of light. So what we have to understand here is this. First, it is that we are without God. We're not enlightened. We don't know him. That comes first, and it is then the works that follow that. It is because one does not know God that one does not do good. That is what's key, and we've seen that in Ephesians 4:18. Oh, just right here. You gotta love technology sometimes. Sorry. You needed a moment to digest that anyway, right? So Ephesians 4:18 says, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God. This is how it begins. Ungodliness leads to unrighteousness. And we saw further back in chapter 2, verse 12, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ. This is our original state, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise. being without him and having no hope in this world. So this reminds us something very key. Because what we do is we put, man always does this, puts the doing good works part ahead of the knowing God part. And it doesn't work. And we even as Christians sometimes expect people to be, why can't they get it right and do it right? Well, they don't know God. So there's going to be nothing but frustration when one expects someone to be doing righteousness when they do not know God. We first deal with ungodliness. The child of light shows this contrast. They know God, therefore it is what they do is acts of light. For, notice in our verse here in verse 8, for at one time, does that tell us? One time you were darkness. You were this in the past, all of us. This is what the child of light shows as he walks. I was that, I'm not that no more. I don't conduct myself in a way that would show that I am a child of darkness. But you know what stands out here? I hope you see. It says you were darkness. It does not say you were in darkness. You were darkness. You were not just a victim. You understand that? You were not just a victim. You were doing exactly what you wanted. You were a contributor to darkness. This is what he has rescued us from. Man is content in remaining completely ignorant. People sometimes say, how can God put someone in hell? He doesn't. This is what they want. How is it that he rescues man is the question. Why would he show such great love to rescue man out of the darkness? But the gospel to the natural man is boring. It's just uninteresting. Look at the churches and people don't want to go there when there's all kinds of activities to be doing on a Sunday morning. That's boring. Why is that? They don't know him. They're in darkness. We can't expect them to respond any differently than that. And it is dismissed. Notice what Scripture tells us in John. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world. The people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. What that tells us is in our natural state, this is what we want. We want that. The light comes, we don't want that. That's going to move me off of what I want. Do away with that. I mean, if it would help me in doing what I want, maybe I could be interested. But that's going to expose my path is wrong. I don't want that. And so man seeks this. This is their desire. And what did the Lord Jesus tell them? In John 8:44, you are of your father, the devil. That's who you are of. Why? Because your will, what you want, that free will of yours is to do the father's, meaning the devil's, desires. That is, and God allows that. You want that. That's the direction the person goes. An enemy of God. But see, this is what those first three chapters has told us of who he is writing to, our believers. But now, you are in the light? Nope. Doesn't say that, does it? But now you are the light. This is what he has done. He has removed us, broken the chains of darkness. He has converted us. He has made us to be the light. You are the light. And we see this in Scripture. Matthew says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. You are, Jesus told them, the light of the world. In 1 Thessalonians 5, for you are all children of light, as he's writing there to believers. Children of light, you are this. Why are we this? What is Jesus? Jesus would say what? I am the light of the world. He came into this world. What has happened to us? We are in the Lord. You see that? You are light in the Lord. Since we are in him because of our relationship to him, we are now light. This is what he has accomplished before us, this relationship that we have. This is what Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. What will they have? The light of life. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And what does Peter remind them of? You are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. Why? So that you can proclaim the excellencies of him who did what? Called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He has made us light. We are children of light. He uses this word children, meaning we're born again into this light. We're a new creation. The Lord Jesus would say, while you have the light, believe in the light. So what happens? That you may become sons of light. When we believe, we become the light. We are transferred, as Colossians says, we're delivered from the domain of darkness and brought into the kingdom of his beloved son. A child of light shows what they are. Do they sin? At times. Yes, there's mistakes. And when a believer sins, you're doing deeds of darkness while in the light. You see the problem there? This is a constant reminder to remind ourselves we're sons of God, we're children of light. We don't have anything to do with darkness. Why are we going back into the cave and to do these deeds of darkness? Let your light shine. We mentioned that in Matthew 5, and further on he says, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. Right? So the idea here is you don't go back to doing darkness. You let this light shine out. And so you do what is light because that is who you are. So you don't hide that. It gives light to all the house when you put the lamp up. You don't bury it under stuff. In the same way, let your light shine before others. Let it be seen that they can see this and give glory to God. We let our light shine as believers. We show, I'm not doing my way. I'm doing his. I'm following his. I'm forsaking me. I'm putting me in second. And I'm following him. That's what the Lord Jesus would constantly say to them. I didn't come to do my will, speaking in humanity terms, but the will of him who sent me. I'm coming to follow him, being the example for us. And the world takes note of that. I mean, who doesn't put their own selfish interests first? But when the child of light lives in honor of the king, this is where things are seen and changed. Now, the next point I want you to notice is, so there's the contrast, there's a change, but then we see in verse 9 and 10 that the child of light produces fruit. All right, they produce fruit. When it comes to darkness, what we know is darkness is what we don't know, and darkness is also what we don't do. Right? Light is what we do know, and light is what we do. Notice he says here, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. The fruit of this light. So there's fruit of the light. And this lines up with what we see all over Scripture as well. There's expected results of fruit from the child of God. There isn't just this, a person says they're saved, the person raised their hand, the person did this, and now they're on their merry way. That does not exist in your Bible. That's something man has come up with because they don't like the idea that they might not be a believer, they might not be in heaven when they die. And to pacify themselves, they tell them all kinds of things. This tells us very clearly, the true child of God there is fruit that's expected from the life. Romans 7:4 says, "Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ." Okay? This is us as believers. We have died to the law through the body of Christ. Why? So that you may belong to another, to him, Jesus Christ, who has been raised from the dead. What for? In order that we may bear fruit for God. We've already seen this in Ephesians as well, right? We're saved by grace. What for? That you would be his workmanship. It's created in Christ Jesus for good works that God prepared beforehand that you might walk in them. You've been brought into the family to be a child of light, to bear these fruits. So the world sees this. This is what God uses as he sanctifies us. So what are these fruits that we bear? Notice what it says here. The fruit of light is found. Where is it? What's it found in? All that is good and right and true. So goodness, righteousness, and truth. These are the marks of those who walk in light. These are the fruits that are expected in the life. This word good is interesting. There's three different ways in Greek for the word good. This is what makes translation tricky, right? We have sometimes one word for something, and they got three, or they got one, and we got three, and how do you bring it over, and how do you work this out? But there's three words for good. The first word, it means to be free from defects. Something is beautiful. There's no problem with that. That drawing is good. Then the next word would be, this is very good, it's very useful, very profitable. You might have a tool, you're like, that's a really good tool for this particular thing that I want to use it for. The last one means, which is used here, moral excellence, integrity, being beneficial or useful. Or as one lectionary says it's used in terms of generosity, in acting on behalf of others. So the child of light, the fruit that can be seen is the good they do on behalf of others. This word is used in 1 Thessalonians 5:15. See that no one repays evil for evil, but all we seek to do, and there's the word is, good to one another and to everyone. That's what the child of God is concerned with, doing good to others. The other word is the fruit is goodness, and it's also right, which is righteousness. And when this word means, you know, uprightness, fairness, has to do with showing justice. This is, when we think of righteousness, it has to do with what God requires. So the child of the light obeys what God says, very concerned with what it is that God says, and then follows that, and that is seen in the life of the child of light. And then the last one is truth, which means honesty, reliability, and trustworthiness. That can be expected of the child of light. That's the fruit that they will bear. The real thing, see, bears fruit. The real tree bears fruit. That can be expected. We planted apple trees. Took a while, but we're getting apples, and it's exciting when they first start coming. We can get bananas. We got apples. Why? Because that's what we planted. It was expected. That's what I expect the fruit to be. See, God knows what the fruit's going to be. He has converted you. He is the one that tells us what it's going to be. So what happens, though, is there are people that claim to be an apple tree. They claim to be a child of God. And sometimes we're fooled. You ever seen those fake plants or fake trees, right? From a distance, like, wow, that's real. And you get up to it and you feel it and look at it, you examine it more closely. Nah, it's not real, it's fake. But man, it looks really real from a distance. The Christian, upon further examination, one sees this. Those that claim to be a Christian, and upon examining them, will show it. Matthew 7, you remember when the Lord Jesus warns them, Matthew 7:15, what does he warn them about? False prophets. They're going to come among you. How are you going to know them? What does he tell them there? You will recognize them
by their fruits. What comes from their life. That's what you look for. Because otherwise they're going to fool you. People can fool you like crazy with what they say. What you look for, what comes out. What comes from the life? Is this a child of God? Because what? Even the devil, what do we see what the devil does in 2 Corinthians 11? He disguises himself to deceive. And how does he disguise himself? As an angel of light. No, I'm light. I'm light. You can listen to me. But upon further examination, one realizes this is deception. You want to know if you're a Christian? You look at your life. You examine it. Because this tree will bring forth fruit. A child of God will bear some resemblance to his father. This is why you were converted and born again into the family. You will show this in your life. And of course, it doesn't always happen overnight. It's like the fruit tree doesn't, like we'd like it to, as soon as you plant it. First buds and later flowers and then the fruit. There's a time, but you know it's coming. It's going to come. And as a child of God, there's going to be fruit in the life. And then notice he says in verse 10, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. So this word for discern, as other translations will put it, is to learn what is, or to test. So we learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Remember in Thessalonians, it tells us, test everything and hold to what is good. What does that mean? Well, it's verified fruit. We don't say what the fruit is. We like to, and oftentimes we do. We say, oh yeah, this is what God will like. I know God will like this. And I know this is what God wants. He wants me to have this and do this. And wait a minute, what does he say? Because he tells us what the fruit is. It's his tree. The Lord Jesus would say, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you're in me, you're going to bear fruit. And this fruit is going to be of him. It's going to resemble Jesus Christ. We bear this. You know, we're not Cain, right? What'd Cain do? Let me tell you what you want, God. God said what he wants. Cain said, no, I'll tell you what you want because that's what I like. We have to be really careful with this. When it comes to bearing fruit, and as you examine, is it the things that I think should be fruit? I think that should be counted as fruit. Or is it what God says is counted as fruit, as we've seen with goodness, righteousness, and truth? So try to discern. So we bear the fruit of light simply because what? It's who we are. We're children of light, so that is what is expected. So what's walking in the light mean as a child? They bear fruit of light. And then in verses 11 through 13, we see that they forsake darkness and expose darkness. That is what a child of light does. Forsakes it and expose it. Notice in verse 11, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness. Don't have anything to do with that. Don't fellowship with that. That word for part there is that word we get, koinonia, fellowship, and there's a prefix in front of it to emphasize. No, 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 no. Nothing to do with that type of fellowship. Don't have anything to do with the works, with the fruit of darkness. Don't get involved in that. We get way too chummy with sin, don't we? The movies we watch can be chock full of it. The books we read, the newspaper articles, oh, did you hear about that sexual scandal? And you hunt for the article that goes more deeper into the details. Don't do that. Darkness. Don't have anything to do that. Don't get chummy with sin. The child of light is no longer to consider them clever or funny or amusing or entertainment. He has no fellowship whatsoever. Remember in the very first psalm that you have, chapter 1, it reminds us that, doesn't it? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. He stays away from that, stays far away from this. Notice what it's called, though. It's unfruitful works. Unfruitful don't have any part to do with those unfruitful. They're unproductive. Darkness bears no fruit. There's no value there. There's no real meaning there. Wasting your time. Remember what Paul wrote to the believers as he's writing to in Romans 6. At the very end of that chapter, he says, "But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed?" Should be ashamed. What fruit did you get from that, doing those things? Because at the end of all that is death. "But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get, oh, so much better. So rich, so lasting. It leads to sanctification. At its end, of course, as God works and sanctifies us and grows up, what do we get? Eternal life. Though these fruits of light, far, far better than chasing after these empty fruits of darkness. They are a waste of time. This world begins with glamour, doesn't it? At least we think when we're young, oh, it's bright. All the things that we're going to do. You don't have to go very far, and you don't have to live even sometimes very long to meet people who will soon expose to you how broken and hurting they are. This world and what it promises breaks people's heart every second. Constantly is doing it. And people keep thinking, it will though this time. And they keep trying, they keep going after it. It's empty. It takes everything, it's exhausting, and it has nothing to show for it. It's empty. Remember the prodigal son? What does he say? "Give me my inheritance now. Dad, I kind of just wish you were dead so I could get that inheritance. So just, can you give me a fast forward on that?" And off he goes and lives it up and finds out what? Absolutely empty. Absolutely empty. That's these works of darkness, the works of our way, where we're headed. This is why as children of light, we've been brought into something that is real. It is genuine. It is lasting, it is fulfilling in our life. And then notice as well, they not only not take part in them, that they instead expose these. That's a part of our job as children of light, is to expose this. Expose the emptiness of this. Let people know, don't share in it so they think it's the good thing to go and do, but to let them know that that's empty. Don't go that direction. That word for expose is the same word for rebuke or reprove or convict. Our job most certainly is not to be involved, but it's also to expose. We interact with people most certainly, right? The Lord Jesus said in that wonderful prayer in John 17, I'm not saying take them out of the world. No, they're going to be in the world. And John reminds us in 1 John, you're in the world, you're not of the world. You're going to have to be here. You don't take part in this stuff. You're going to be the light. In order to be the light, you got to be here. And you got to be amongst the people. We don't run off for the hills. And we don't barricade ourselves down. We allow our light to shine out to the world. We don't take part in the sin. We separate ourselves from that, and we expose that by showing them what that is. And the idea here is to convince other people. This is, you're exposing this not just to be a know-it-all, I think that's good, you know, right? Just in an arrogant sort of way. It is for their benefit, is why you're seeking to expose it. You want them to see God can use you. So this means to convince by means of evidence, to convict by enlightening their understanding. Throw some light upon these things in order to convince them of what they are doing. In light of eternity, remember what the Bible tells us, what the Lord Jesus Christ said. What will it profit a person if he gains the entire world? You could come up with every wildest dream your mind can comprehend and think of, and they could all come true. And the Lord Jesus said that means nothing in light of eternity. This is what we expose. This is what we show. Don't chase those things. Follow after the light that came into the world, Jesus Christ. And sometimes we can confront this just simply by the way that we live. People see us as we stand out, where our desires are, what we put first, what we prioritize. But of course, most certainly, what it is that we say and the words it is that we speak. Because we are commissioned to expose the evil of the world, diagnose it, confront it, in order to offer the solution so that they see what's much better than what it is that they chase. And of course, in verse 12, he tells us the reason we stay away from all of this, it's shameful to even speak of the things that they do in secret. This lines up what we saw back in verse 3. It shouldn't even be named among you as Christians. You don't even talk about these things. The stuff that they do is rotten. It's wretched. It's vile. Don't waste your breath on it. Well, certainly, let alone don't do it. And then in verses 13 through 14, we see that they are the children of light. What do? They're witnesses for the gospel. This light shines out. We proclaim Jesus Christ. There's a contrast. There's a difference, most certainly, in our life. And there is most certainly fruit. And we most certainly expose, but we also share the wondrous beauty of the person of Jesus Christ. Philippians, we're reminded that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. This is what we are. Among whom you shine as lights in the world. Verse 13 says, but whenever anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. It takes the light of God, the light of Jesus Christ, to expose this darkness for what it is. Because on our own, we don't see it. Actually, we love it. We follow it. We do it. It takes his light shining to wake us up to see. No, this isn't good. This isn't the direction I want to go. And so it is part of evangelism, most certainly, that gets lost today, is to make people face the fact of their sin. That is how one comes to Christ. The light shows that, and this is why people run from it initially, right? We all are uncomfortable when we have to come to terms with, I'm a sinner, my sin deserves to be punished, God has a right to put me in hell. That's hard to get to because we don't like to see ourselves that way. We see ourselves, well, I'm not as bad as that guy. But we're not gauging ourselves in the light of a holy, righteous God who can't tolerate any sin. And when we see that, this is what we need to get others to see. We show that in as loving way as possible because this is the truth. This is the truth. And a child of the light wants to expose that darkness so that they see the light of Christ, see this need, work in this manner. So that's when it says made becomes visible, it means it's made clear. We flash the light of the gospel on them. This is what we see Paul, and he is commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. In Acts 26, it says, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness. This is what the Lord Jesus commissions Paul to do. I want them so that their eyes will open so that they may turn from darkness to light. And from power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Not just Paul's commission, all of ours. That's what God so chooses to use. Uses us as children of light, because we're the light in the world now, to show people, expose people to what the reality is. We want to make them feel they're missing something tremendous, because they are. What they're missing. For anything that becomes visible as light, conversion. This is what we seek, bringing them to Christ. And then at the end of this, he's quoting here, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And Bible scholars believe there, it could possibly be somewhat of a rendition of Isaiah 60, verse 1. Many think, though, it's an old church hymn that was sung that he's quoting here. But the beauty of this is that reminder, awake, O sleeper. Arise from the dead. Christ will shine on you. Most certainly, this is the message we want for unbelievers, but even as believers, this should be considered. Do we slumber? See, we've worked ourselves sometimes so far back into the old way and the old habits that we slumber. What do you do when it's dark? Sleep. It's easier to sleep. Be children of the light. Allow that light of Jesus Christ to shine on us. That awakens you. Get under the light. Get ourselves to Jesus Christ. This is always the motive of what he works for. Romans 13:11. Besides this, you know the time that the hour has come for you to awake from sleep. Why? For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. It's about Christ. That's the motive here. Always is. That is the motive. It's not that we live in some code of morality so that we measure up and people think we're pretty great. Or we appease ourselves and thinking we're pretty great. Establish a good name. What the motive here is Jesus Christ. And that's what we have to challenge our hearts for. Do you do what you do for Christ, or do you do it for some other motive, for some other reason? The child of the light works to serve him, and what does God want? Go and make disciples. Bring others to Jesus Christ. Share the gospel. Share your life. Let your light shine bright. That's what he saved you for. He saved you and brought you into the family that you would be a bright light so that you can please him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the light that came into the world, Jesus Christ, that brings us out of our bondage, out of these chains that we were in. It brings us into your family, awakens us. We see clearly. We see the way. We see the emptiness of this world and where our path was leading us. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the person and work of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for this passage that reminds us of who we are. Father, I pray that each person here that knows you will not hide this light, but will let this light shine out. Be ready to showcase this, show the contrast in their life, and that they most certainly would work to bear this beautiful fruit, the fruit of light. Father, help us all be able to do this. Help us to look beyond the things of this world that so easily beset us. Someday we're going to be in the very presence of the light. And this we look forward to. What a wonderful day that's going to be. In Jesus' name it is we pray. Amen.